And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about American Nuremberg Trials. American Nuremberg Trials. And who knows, maybe even some kind of Nuremberg trial throughout Western civilization between the United States, Canada, Europe. Who knows? This is something that has been talked about for years. Let's focus on the idea of American Nuremberg trials, because there's a number of stories out there and at least one book that talks about this whole idea. Last year, the American Conservative, the publication known as the American Conservative, had an article titled, "It's Time for a Nuremberg Trial for Communism." It's time for a Nuremberg trial for communism. And then it says, quote, "Why did we punish the horrific crimes of the National Socialists, yet let the murderous International Socialists off scot-free?" Probably because one of the judges that sat on the original Nuremberg panel was from the Soviet Union. He was a communist. And this whole concept of war crimes and crimes against humanity and this kind of thing, especially once you're allowing the communists to sit here and to exercise judgment alongside nations like the United States and Great Britain that were historically governed by Christian belief based in the Bible. And well, now how are you going to factor communism in with that? Because communism does not acknowledge the authority of God and God's moral law. This is the whole problem. And so now this whole modern idea of war crimes and crimes against humanity, it has been thrown into an arena of confusion, because there is confusion about how you determine and discern right from wrong, good from evil. How do you define good and evil? Without the law of God, there really is nothing more than the imaginations of men to determine what good and evil is. Now, there was a book that was published some time ago, a few years ago, by Rebecca Gordon. And the book is called American Nuremberg. American Nuremberg, the U.S. officials who should stand trial for post-9/11 war crimes. And the author, Rebecca Gordon, is a teacher of philosophy at San Francisco University, University of San Francisco, okay, which is a Jesuit institution. And if you read her book, she admits, quote, "Because my parents were leftists, however, they wouldn't let me rest in my comfortable bed of American self-righteousness. They gave me another symbol for evil, another bit of shorthand. My mother told me about the atomic bombs my country dropped, first on Hiroshima, and then a few days later, just to make sure the Japanese and the Soviets understood that they were facing on, or what they were facing, on Nagasaki. Later, I would learn about the Allies' crimes, the destruction of German cities like Dresden, with firebombs that did more damage and killed more civilians than the German air war on England. I would learn about how, near the end of the war, the United States leveled 67 Japanese cities with incendiary bombs that killed 500,000 residents outright and burned to ashes the homes of 5 million more. War crimes all." Okay, so this is what she says. Then she goes on to talk about the methods that were used against terrorists in the wake of 9/11, hunting them down, subjecting them to variant forms of torture and this kind of thing, because these were people who were pursuing acts of terrorism against the United States of America. And referring to their treatment as crimes against humanity, war crimes, all this other kind of stuff. A view of Nuremberg from a very left-wing perspective. That's why I say this whole idea of Nuremberg trials is, on the one hand, I remember growing up with the film. My parents would refer to it all the time, the really powerful film called Judgment at Nuremberg. And it was a, sensational idea, just a grand event that all these nations are coming together to judge the atrocities of Nazism. And this has always been seen as a symbol of some kind of American allied righteousness against evil. But is that really what it is? I mean, to a certain extent, I don't think anybody would disagree with punishing German leaders because of crimes they committed against men, women, and children through the Holocaust. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But how is it that the communists have gotten a pass? How is it that communist leaders, I mean, none of them, whether it's Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, whether it's Chairman Mao, whether it was, Castro, I mean, Pol Pot, all of these people were guilty of crimes at least as bad as what Hitler did. And yet none of them were held accountable. This is one of the things that is talked about in the film or the second documentary, Agenda Part 2. How the Nazis were confronted, they were defeated, they were condemned, and yet international communism has been given a pass, even to this day. So when they talk about crimes against humanity, from what perspective are these crimes to be judged? This is the whole problem with this idea. InfoWars has an article where it says, quote, experts call for Nuremberg 2.0 following COVID crimes against humanity. Now, this is something that I would actually agree with, that there should be accountability for what has happened with this COVID-19 coronavirus, the way that people have been treated. I think here in America, certain violations, very clear violations of the Constitution, things like violating right of assembly, violating fundamental liberties, denying elderly people the right to interact with their family members during this whole period, when it's very clear that there simply has not been a pandemic that would warrant the decisions that were made in certain states in the Union. Not only that, but the actions taken by mainstream media, where mainstream media has been caught repeatedly fabricating information, staging things at hospitals and things like that to give a false impression about the severity of the COVID-19 virus, whatever it is. And that information has been covered up. They've been very, very selective. They keep making reference to, quote, the science, but then their science consists of Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates. Bill Gates, who's not a scientist. Bill Gates, who has no college degree, apparently, and is not qualified to be sitting here making decisions or being the lead counsel in what to do if there's a pandemic or whatever. Why is this guy being set up as the expert? Meanwhile, the thousands and thousands of other doctors, nurses, medical professionals in this country and around the world have been ignored and shut down by mainstream media in favor of Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci. When Dr. Fauci, when they say, quote, the science, they mean Dr. Fauci, even though Fauci has been denounced by other noteworthy scientists like Dr. Kary Mullis. We've talked about that on this program before. Dr. Mullis, who passed away right before coronavirus happened and was a Nobel Prize winning chemist a real scientist who repeatedly said that Dr. Fauci did not know what he was talking about, even accused Fauci of lying to the American people. All of this brushed under the carpet by the media and by our leaders, by and large, most of them, in favor of the opinions of a handful of people who were not especially qualified to be making the assertions they were making, and certainly should not have been allowed to shut down the country and to cause the harm that has been caused, much less push this vaccine on everybody and then cover up all of the harmful effects of the vaccine itself, all the many thousands of reports out there of people suffering various maladies and at times death even being reported because people have taken these vaccines that they're now offering that they threw together very quickly, which that in itself is very illogical and unscientific. So, yes, should there be something like the Nuremberg trials? I think the idea of it is a very noble idea. I think it should be done. I don't have confidence, however, that the Republican Party or the establishment politicians that we have in power at this time would ever be able to put something like that together that would actually be effective and go after the people who were truly guilty. It's important to consider, even during the first Nuremberg trials, as they were happening, this is one of the reports you can find on Wikipedia. It says that, quote, at the time, quote, Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court Harlan Fiske Stone called the Nuremberg trials a fraud. Why? Partly because one of the prosecutors, chief prosecutors, was a Supreme Court justice named Justice Robert Jackson. Okay, Justice Robert Jackson from the United States was one of the prosecutors in the trial, and Supreme Court Justice Harlan Fiske Stone said, quote, Jackson is away conducting his high-grade lynching party in Nuremberg. He says, I don't mind what he does to the Nazis, but I hate to see the pretense that he is running a court and proceeding according to common law. This is a little too sanctimonious a fraud to meet my old-fashioned ideas, Stone wrote. Okay? And then you have Associate Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, who wrote that the Allies were guilty of, quote, substituting power for principle at Nuremberg. And he said, quote, I thought at the time and still think that the Nuremberg trials were unprincipled. Law was created ex post facto to suit the passion and clamor of the time. All right, so not everybody agreed with the Nuremberg trials. Now, it's also very interesting to go and study the testimony of General Patton, General George S. Patton, the very famous American general. He did not like the way that the German people were being treated in the aftermath of the war. He disagreed with it. I don't think he was defending the Nazis, but the Nazis were a political party. Just like here in America, we have the Democratic Party. But you wouldn't blame all of the American people for the things that the Democratic Party is doing. Because a lot of Americans don't agree with the Democratic Party. The same was true with Nazism. But one of the quotes that, Patton is known for having said, because he did not like the communists, the Soviet communists, he didn't trust them. At one point, he is said to have replied, we defeated the wrong enemy, because he had a concern about the rise of communism in Russia. And he said at one point, Patton is quoted for saying, quote, if we let Germany and the German people be completely disintegrated and starved, they will certainly fall for communism. And the fall of Germany for communism will write the epitaph of democracy in the United States. The more I see of people, the more I regret I survived the war. End quote. That's a quote from George Patton, General Patton. All right, we are going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to talk more about what it would mean. What is the idea of these Nuremberg trials? What should really be confronted? And what would be the basis of authority for determining the moral boundaries for what you're going to call a crime, a war crime, or a crime against humanity? We'll talk more about that when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrid Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are talking about the concept of American Nuremberg, an American Nuremberg trial, or a series of trials. Maybe there would be a series of tribunals. Who knows? It is a concept that has been talked about for years. It's important to understand it's been talked about by those on the right, and it has been talked about by those on the left. If those on the left brought about a judgment at Nuremberg, it would be a very, very different kind of judgment, because their ideas of right and wrong, where they argue that, you know, if you refuse to call a man and address a woman, then you are guilty of some kind of moral crime against humanity. Do you really want those people making decisions in a court of law? My answer would be absolutely not. All right, but before we get to that, we're going to talk about that. Before we do, I want to take a moment and let our audience know that behind the scenes, in between these radio programs, these podcasts that we've been producing, we have been working to update the Noise of Thunder Radio website. That is coming. That's part of what I have been doing. It's why I haven't been able to record as many shows. We've been developing graphics. We're developing a whole new format for the website, because the Noise of Thunder Radio website that we have right now is outdated. We've had it since about 2011, and technology and computers and software and all of that just goes at a rapid speed. many of you are aware that in January, we lost the Adobe Flash player. But why? Because now it ceased to exist, doesn't exist anymore. So we began with a process of trying to replace that player, and that has led to a full revision of the website. Now, of course, you're still going to be able to go to our website at noiseofthunderradio.com, listen to the shows there, and go into the archives and all of that while this revision is happening. The revision is happening separately, and then what's going to happen is once this new website is completed, that will still have our radio shows on them. That's going to be uploaded and will replace the current Noise of Thunder Radio website. And the big thing is, with the updated technology, it should be a lot more user-friendly, especially for those who listen to our program on your iPhone. The new website is supposed to be very, very iPhone-friendly. Now, I do want to say, if you have any kind of trouble listening to it on the current website, you can always catch our shows on iTunes. If you go to iTunes, they keep all of our Noise of Thunder Radio programs there, and you can always find our program on iTunes, also at Worldview Weekend, worldviewweekend.com. When they post our radio shows, you can find them there as well. You can also go to iHeart Radio, Podbean. There's a whole series of different websites that host the Noise of Thunder Radio program. All right. So look for that here in the next few weeks, the new Noise of Thunder Radio website. And then hopefully within about a month or so, we will have completed the new Adullam Films website, which we're also very excited about. So we've got those things coming up here in the very near future. Okay, so back to Judgment at Nuremberg. Judgment at Nuremberg. We were talking before we went to the break about General Patton. General Patton, his whole story is really, really fascinating, especially once the war is over. We all know about, you know, Patton's exploits during the war, but his opinion of things as the war in Germany came to an end and he saw these Russian communists coming in, the Soviets. He said at one point in a letter to his wife, he said, quote, "We have destroyed what could have been a good race, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages. Now the horrors of peace, pacifism, and unions will have unlimited sway." And then he goes on to say, "I wish I were young enough to fight in the next one, the next war. It would be real fun killing Mongols." That's what he said. Anyway, so Patton was very, very concerned about the advance of communism in Germany and really in Europe and throughout the world. He was very, very concerned about it. And he made the comments, if you read all of his comments there, that really their purpose in fighting the war in Europe was to allow the people of Europe, the people of Germany, to govern themselves apart from this system of Nazi socialism, national socialism with the Nazis, which was a form of government really foreign to the German people. And to understand it, we should just relate it to how we see things right here in our country as we're watching socialism through the Democratic Party and through our federal government operate. Is it really operating according to the will of the American people? And the answer is no. I mean, obviously, there are some people who support it, but the greater body of Americans do not support what is going on with this socialist Marxist hijacking of the federal government and our national treasury and the resources and power of the United States of America. Many Americans, I would say most Americans, do not approve of what is happening. But let's talk more about this idea of war crimes and crimes against humanity and this kind of thing. And from whose perspective are these things? You know, we're being told that to punish criminals is somehow or other a criminal act. To go after terrorists who are trying to do harm to our nation and to murder innocent people, to go after them with severity is somehow or other a criminal act. And this is very much the influence, the effeminizing, manipulating, and hypocritical influence of the left. Because one of the things that they do is they manipulate the Western world, especially in such a way as to deny self-defense as a natural right, not only at a personal level, but at a national level. You think about the concept of open borders. Having border laws is a form of self-defense. It's just like you having a door on your house with a lock on it. The only people who come into your home are people that you approve of, people that you want in your home, people that you trust. The idea that somebody's going to tell you you have to put these people in your home, whether you want them there or not, is a violation of your right. One, right to privacy, right to own private property. And also, it's a violation of your right to protect yourself and your family. Now, think about it. If a thief breaks into somebody's home and somebody's trying to defend their family from being harmed by a home invader, are they committing a crime if they take action to defend themselves and their family and the home invader is harmed or killed? Well, in many parts of the world, because of the influence of socialism in one way or another, it is seen, self-defense is seen as a criminal act. They had that case years ago in England where a homeowner had a shotgun and two thieves broke into his house. He shot and killed one of them. The police came. The one thief was arrested. He went to jail for a year. And meanwhile, the homeowner who shot and killed the other thief was charged with murder and sentenced to life in prison. And there was this big uproar. There was an outrage among the people. Now, what does the Word of God tell us about that? Well, Exodus 22 says that if a thief is found breaking into a man's home and the homeowner strikes the thief in such a way that he dies, the homeowner is not to be charged with the death of the thief. Exodus 22 is the foundation of castle doctrine. This is one of these things that we talk about in True Christian History of America. That's where the origin, it is said, of castle doctrine comes from. Comes from God's law in the Bible. But one of the things that the socialists and the communists do is they deny your right to defend yourself. They deny it at a personal level. It's part of the reason why they take away the right to bear arms. I remember watching a presentation on there's actually a group over in England called the National Rifle Association. But the one in England is very, very different from the one here in America. There's no relationship between the two of them. And I was watching a documentary on the NRA over in England. It's more of a sporting club. And when they were interviewing the guy who was in charge of it over there, one of the first things he said was that firearms cannot be used for self-defense in England. You cannot use a firearm to defend yourself. And right off the bat, you're thinking of how peculiar that is. Of course, you understand that's not historic English law. That is a post-World War II imposition on the system. That's not the way English law had always operated beforehand. It was developed somewhere after World War II. But the Marxists do this at a personal level, then they do it at a national level. This is why it's so important to understand from what perspective right and wrong is determined. What is the foundation of law? For our forefathers, God himself, our creator, was and is the foundation of all law. And they believe that God's law is the law. And if government, any form of government, comes up with a law that contradicts God's law, it is not law. You don't have the right to set up a fake law or to create fake rights. You know, things like abortion rights and gay marriage rights and this kind of thing and transgender rights. These are not rights. These are violations of God's law. And what the left is doing is they're using the fake rights movement to ultimately deny true rights that come from God. Things like freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, etc. Those that have been declared God-given rights in our society for hundreds of years are being denied in favor of counterfeit rights that have been fabricated by these Marxists post-World War II. And this is why the condition of our courts is so important. And we go back to the Word of God. Let's look at what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says to the church, he says, quote, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Now think about what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, dare any of you. Do any of you dare go before the courts of the unrighteous? Unrighteous meaning unbelievers, people who are not Christians. Do you dare go before their courts and allow them to judge you? Allow them to pass judgment, these unrighteous people? Because if they're unrighteous, then they're not going to believe the laws of God, are they? They're going to have a different set of laws for right and wrong. And what's happened? Look at what's happened in our country since the end of World War II. I find 1 Corinthians 6 very powerful. It's like a powerful warning from 2,000 years ago. Because this is what's happened in our country. Really, it's happened throughout the Western world. We have allowed the unrighteous to sit on the bench as judges. We've allowed the unrighteous to be lawyers. We've allowed the unrighteous to handle matters of law, which none of our forefathers would have allowed to happen. Remember, brothers and sisters, all the way through the 19th century, an atheist was forbidden to even testify in a court of law. Now we have, as we're told, that one of the leading, if not the leading, constitutional expert in America, Alan Dershowitz, who's an atheist, who taught at Harvard University for decades, that this is the leading expert, or one of the leading experts, on our system of God-given rights. Just think about the peculiarity of that. The contradiction of it. How is an atheist going to know more about God-given rights than people who believe in God? And this is the whole problem with this idea of Nuremberg trials, quite frankly. I mean, I like the idea of it if the judges are Christians with Bibles in their hands and they're judging according to the law of God. Yeah, that's a good thing. If they're going to throw the Bible out and they're going to have a communist, a socialist, an atheist, a homosexual, a Muslim, and then somebody who's claiming that they're a Christian up there, it's going to be a disaster. And what they're calling war crimes, I did at least one or two programs on the situation over in Bosnia, where you had the Muslims who went around to the Serbian Christian communities, and they reportedly raped and murdered thousands of Serbian Christian civilians in these villages and towns. And then when the Serbian Christian army took up arms and went after them and fought them and defeated them, the killing of these Muslim thugs for what they did was judged to be a war crime because of how the media represented it. This happened all during the Clinton administration. And there's controversies around this to this very day. In fact, I heard Dr. Peter Hammond in one of his teachings was talking about this, and he agreed that this whole thing had been a misrepresentation of what had really happened. And it's unfortunate, but the Christians then were accused of war crimes against the Muslims because they fought people who had been guilty of rape and murder and these horrible atrocities against the Christian community. We're watching this happen all the time with Israel. When Israel defends itself, they're being accused of crimes or war crimes or crimes against humanity and all this other kind of stuff for defending themselves. This is the big reason why I think this whole concept of Nuremberg trials, on the one hand, I agree with it, but more importantly, I agree the saints shall judge the world. And 2,000 years ago, I think that modern evangelicals, something that we're guilty of, is we think that the saints should only be in judgment somewhere or other in the future. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is telling us. He's not saying, well, the saints one day should exercise judgment. No, he's calling on the saints 2,000 years ago to exercise judgment. 2,000 years ago. And really, that seems to be in perfect agreement with what we read in Psalm chapter 149 that talks about the saints executing judgments against the heathen, binding their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and executing against them the judgment that is written in the Word of God. So all of this very, very fascinating, brothers and sisters, and we're going to continue to explore it from the Bible and from history, because these are very challenging issues. But look at what's going on right now. The Democrats have, and the media, have allowed Black Lives Matter and Antifa to run around the country burning things down, smashing, you know, cars, stopping people on the freeway. People have been assaulted and in some cases murdered by these mobs. And all of that has been interpreted by the media as peaceful protest, generally. They've called it peaceful protest. Meanwhile, what conservatives did when Trump gave his speech and they all went down to the Capitol with their flags and so on, even though they didn't set anything on fire, they didn't attack anybody, none of that happened. There were just a massive flood of patriots that ran down there. That's being called some horrible act of sedition and a danger to the country and all this other kind of stuff. It's being interpreted in a very different way. Whereas the reality is Black Lives Matter and Antifa are far more dangerous to the country than any of these patriots. But the whole thing is being turned around and manipulated in what can only be called a form of psychological warfare. And what we're going to do, I think, on the next program is we're going to talk about right and wrong and good and evil in matters of war from a biblical perspective. And what does God say about what is or what is not acceptable in time of war? There's a time for peace and a time for war. But what is the biblical perspective on war? Well, we are going to pursue that on the next program. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.